gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Behold, now your house is left to you desolate. In Luke 19, as he comes near for the triumphal entry, when he drew near and saw the city, he, Jesus, wept over it. And the word for weeping here is sobbing, outwardly, violent sobbing, saying, would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. And he goes on and predicts the destruction of the city under Rome coming in AD 70. Paul also wept for Israel. In Romans 9, he speaks of his great love for them. He says that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. Paul actually said, I wish, if it was possible, that I could be accursed, I could go to hell if all my beloved Jewish people were saved. Wow. But it is not just the majority of Israel. It is still the majority of humanity that is rejecting Jesus Christ. What is there, 7 billion people on the globe? There's perhaps 1 billion and some who profess Christianity. How many of them are actually real Christians? God only knows. That's 6 billion. The majority of humanity is still rejecting Jesus or treating him with indifference. Who cares? Where's the remote? One of the commentators says, the continuing widespread rejection of Christ in our generation is a daily witness to the universal rebellion against the living God in which each of us is involved. It is also a sobering reminder of the inevitability of coming judgment. There is a coming judgment for all who reject Jesus Christ with eternal consequences. A rejection begins now, and it means no hope even now. John 3:18, Jesus says, whoever believes in him, and Jesus, the Son, is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And in John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God remains on him. God's wrath is already standing over everyone who's not trusting in Jesus Christ. God's wrath then will be fully manifest eternally in a place called hell. However, verse 12, but to all who did receive him, some are receiving the word by believing into him. Thanks be to God, not everyone rejects Christ. As many as receive him become children of God, John proclaims here. We receive Jesus by believing in his name. His name means all that he is, his character, and all that he is as the Son of God, the Eternal One, the Eternal Word. Believing means to entrust yourself to Christ. Real belief in Christ is more than just head knowledge about facts. Yeah, that Christ lived 2,000 years ago. Yeah, Christ came and died on the cross. Christ was, okay, blah, yada, yada. It's more than just knowing those facts. It's a new allegiance and a desire to follow him. John uses this phrase, believe into, because he attaches that extra word to it, believe into or onto, 36 times out of the 45 times in the New Testament, right in the Gospel of John. And one commentator, who's actually a former professor of ours at our seminary, Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, Murray Harris, writes, the phrase believe in depicts the total commitment of one's total self to the person of Christ as Messiah and Lord. Something more than an intellectual acceptance of the message of the gospel and recognition of the truth about Christ, although these aspects are involved. For John, belief involves not only recognition and acceptance of the truth, but also adherence and allegiance to Jesus as the truth. To believe in Jesus is to come to him. And he gives other verses in John for each of these. To receive him, right here in verse 12. To drink the water he offers, John 4. To follow him and to love him. Only the eternal Word, Jesus Christ himself, gives us the right or authority to become God's children. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Many people think that everyone's a child of God. I hear that all the time. Well, we're all children of God. We're all children of God. Anyway, but the people teaches only though. Only, but the Bible teaches only those who receive Jesus by believing in him are God's true children. In John 8, Jesus actually will tell the religious leaders of Israel, "You're of your father, the devil." I pray that's not true of any of you here. If you're outside of Christ, you're not his child. But all who receive Jesus become part of his forever family. In a world where rank was everything, the New Testament world, nobodies were instantly somebodies. Slaves became part of the body, the family of God. Free and barbarians and Jews and Gentiles, all in one family. All who receive Jesus means people of all races and all classes will be part of God's eternal family. Around that throne, singing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." People from every tribe and language and people and nation. Because of receiving Christ, we actually become God's children. 1 John 3, 1 and 2. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. If you're trusting in Jesus Christ, you're his child right now and forever. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, when Christ appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. In Christ, we are God's dearly loved children, no matter how others may see us or what others say about us. Those stupid, silly Christians, right? But we can sing, he's a good father. That's who he is. That's who he is, and I am loved by him. That's who I am. Well, we got to cover verse 13, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Behind every decision to receive Christ and trust him is God's decision to give that person new life. Verse 13. We are not God's children by race, genetics, or human decision or will. That's what John's saying here. We're not saved by being Abraham's descendants or because our parents were Christian or your grandparents were Christians. Not even Johanna Rose Zylstra is a Christian, will be a Christian, hopefully, by God's grace, saving power, but not because Andy and Joy are. God has no grandchildren. Each one must come unto Christ. Those who believe in Jesus Christ do not become God's children by any natural means. But as one commentator says, they owe their spiritual rebirth to the action of God himself. We're not even saved by our own human will. That's what he's saying here, not of the will of man. James 1:18 says, of his own will, referring to God, of God's own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Later in John, we'll hear verses like this, John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. In the very same chapter, verses 64 and 65, but there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him, referring to Judas. And he said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father. We are God's children by being born of God. God's children are not born of God because they believe, but they're born of God so they will believe. God supernaturally in salvation miraculously breathes life into our cold, dead soul and brings us light and life. awakening us so we can see and accept the true light and see the light of Jesus Christ and the glory of God in his face and receive him and believe in him. John 3, 7 and 8, referring to being born again. We don't make ourselves born again, God does it. That's Jesus' point in John 3, 7 and 8. Do not marvel to Nicodemus, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit. We see, we feel the effects of the wind, but we don't control the wind. Only God does. That's why we pray for God to awaken unbelievers, to awaken people who are outside of Christ and show them the light of Jesus Christ. This teaching magnifies God's sovereign grace and humbles humanity, and that's a good thing. Whatever exalts God is good. Every member of God's family, though, is a miracle of God's grace, his unmerited favor. If you want to see a miracle, look around you. People who were once dead spiritually are now alive and seeking Jesus Christ. People who formerly walked away from God and did their own thing are now walking towards him and wanting to follow his ways. People who used to sin and think nothing of it are now desiring to live their lives to please Jesus Christ. Those are the miracles of grace right around you in your own life. We could take no credit at all even for our faith, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace, undeserved, unearned favor, you've been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not a result of works, not what we can do, so that no one may boast. If you have received Jesus and believed in him, you are born of God. And for now, let us rejoice. We'll deal more with this later, but for now, let's rejoice. If you're believing in Jesus Christ, as D.A. Carson summarizes it, those who receive the word are identical with those who believe in his name, and they are identical with those who are born of God. Concluding questions then for today. How have you responded to the light Jesus coming into our world? Don't leave him in the rain or ignore him to do your own thing, go your own way. Have you accepted and received him, believing in his name, trusting in him alone for your salvation, his perfect life for your righteousness, his death in your place on the cross for your sins, his resurrection guaranteeing you life eternal? Christ is where life begins. And then if you are a follower of Jesus, are you bearing witness to the light of Jesus in your daily life? Even in your thinking and how you talk, how you act and your lifestyle. As a new year, 2020 begins, are you committing yourself afresh to follow Christ? To follow after him even harder with a greater desire to honor him, to get to know him this year through his word? Again, I want to challenge you, encourage you to think about reading through the word. There's papers back there that have the whole year laid out for you and reading God through God's word. What does being part of God's family mean to you? World Magazine this week had a stat which kind of shocked me. Again, I don't know who they ask, so you got to be careful of some surveys, right? But it said 44% of American Christians told the Barna Group attending church is not an essential part of their faith. 44% of Christians. Hebrews says, don't neglect the assembling of yourselves together. And are you encouraging others in the family of God, as children of God? Are you committed to a local visible group of believers that you can pray for and be accountable to, and they can hold you accountable? Finally, how is your life radically altered? How's your life radically altered by being a child of God? How has the miracle of new birth changed you, or is changing you, even in your desires for Christ now instead of the things of this world and stuff, in your attitudes, even towards the Bible, towards the Word of God. May God encourage you to see continued light in Jesus Christ as He transforms you through His Word. Let's pray together. Our Father, we want to pray first, if there's anyone here without Jesus Christ, they would see their desperate need of Him by the power of Your Holy Spirit and realize that they are in darkness, they're lost without Christ, and they desperately need Him. He is the true light. He's the only light. And that they would respond by Your Spirit to cry out from their spirit even now, Lord Jesus, save me. I admit my need of Christ, my sin. I admit only Christ can save me from my sin and His death for my sin and His resurrection. I trust in Him alone. Lord, we pray for those of us that are followers of Jesus Christ that we would desire to shine Your light even more clearly to those around us through our lives, through our words, through our actions. That we would be good witnesses for Jesus. As 2020 comes, we pray that You would use us to impact lives for eternity right around us. That we would be, individually and as a church here at Country Christian, even more than we are now, we would be light in the darkness. That Your love would shine out from us. That people would see a difference in us because of Jesus Christ. And how we live on Monday and Friday as well as Sunday. So Lord, we ask for Your Spirit to enable us to keep on desiring You more than anything in this world, to surrender ourselves afresh to You every day, to live for Your praise and glory. Amen. Let's stand together and sing our closing song in response. Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. It's a good prayer.